you guys can hear it, but the music is playing. All right. Welcome to the Take the Points College Football Podcast. Every year I try to guess what year we're in from doing this, and I'm not even trying this year. 10, 11, 9, 15. We're on COVID time, so nobody knows time anymore. I don't know how old I am. I could be 32, could be 40, I could be 87. We don't know. My name's Tom. I'm here with my co-hosts, Ryan and Dan, live via Zoom from Arizona. Gentlemen, tell me what's new and how excited you are for the 2021 college football season.
Well, I'm very excited for the college football season. Last year was a strange year, abbreviated schedule. At least on paper this year, we will have a full year. I'm sure there'll be some issues and cancellations and maybe some rescheduled games, but it's a big improvement over last year, if nothing else. So, yeah, it's also a wide open year. You know, Trevor Lawrence is gone. Mac Jones has moved on. This is probably the most open year, I feel, as a potential new national championship winner. A lot of coaching changes, and now there's just been a lot of players moving around with transfers, too. You know, there's new quarterbacks all over the place. People can move around a lot. Now people can, you know, have sponsorship deals and make money on the side. It's a really new year for college football, so super excited. Can't wait to get going. You know, right now as we tape tonight, we got Ohio State, Minnesota on. There's great games all weekend, culminating with Louisville, Ole Miss, which first one to 50 probably wins that game. So, you know, college football's back. Looking forward to it.
Ryan, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Dan said, excited for what's supposed to be a normal season. You know, at least a full schedule. So for gambling purposes, this is a little bit more fun this year. We have a lot more games to bet on. But like Dan said, the biggest thing for me is the transfers, you know, trying to figure out who is where and all of that. What year are they actually and all this stuff? When did they enroll? Did they enroll back in February? Did they enroll like 3 weeks before camp started? So you got to learn these things if you want to gain an edge this year.
All right, so we're going to try something new this week and probably for the early part of the season and see how it works, which is we're going to do an abridged version of the show. People have short attention spans. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, but we're going to try to do a half-hour show. We say this every single year, but we're actually going to try to do it. So that means we're going to jump right in. I'm going to throw it over to Dan, and what do you want to discuss first?
Might as well go for the home run. Let's just go straight. Who's going to win the national championship? Z, you can kick this one off.
Sure. You already touched on this, but it's wide open. Every once in a while, you know, every, say, 4 or 5 years in college football, you get a reset year where most of the big names move on at the same time. There are guys like Spencer Rattler who come back. There's always somebody coming back. But when it's this wide open, I think choosing the national champion is harder than ever. I kind of did a list in my head of, first off, who could actually make the playoff? And even though it's wide open, I did only come up with maybe 8 teams, and that's kind of even pushing it. I included like Notre Dame, for example, as a potential team, even though I don't think they're going to be even close. So you got Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia. I don't believe in LSU this year, which, you know, we could talk about.
Nope.
Certainly don't believe in Florida. Nope. I really don't see, well, I was going to say, I don't see another team. Texas A&M is a semi-sleeper, if you want to call it that. They have a new quarterback, and if he plays well, I think they're as good as anyone in the country. But I'm not going to put my stock in a young quarterback making his first start and joining the new system under Jimbo Fisher until I see him play. I know it can be done, but I want some visual evidence. So Oregon, I think, you know, potentially could be in there. USC, you always have to put on that list. This is where we start to stretch. Notre Dame, stretch. And Clemson, obviously. So I'm looking at a playoff of Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. And I think we're going to get a little deviation. I think we're going to get a non-Alabama, non-Clemson national championship of Ohio State, Oklahoma. And believe it or not, fellas, I actually think the Oklahoma Sooners are going to win it all this year. And I think Spencer Rattler is going to be your Heisman favorite. We'll talk about that in a minute. I think it's between him and one other guy. But yeah, Oklahoma over Ohio State in the national title game, 72-68.
Accurate. Good.
How about you, Ryan?
Okay, well, Tom, you went through your eight, you stretched a bit, and you still missed one obvious team. The team that's actually going to beat Oklahoma and win the Big 12 this year. And that's the Cyclones, baby. That's right. I'm back on it this year. I am not giving up. Everyone's back. Matt Campbell has got his swan song. He gets to keep all his gear when he moves over to take Helton's job at USC. Same colors. Everything works out. It's perfect. So I'm going to go with Iowa State in the playoff, as well as Clemson, Oregon, and Alabama. No, scratch that. Oregon's not good. I forgot their quarterback blows. Yes. So no, we're going to go with, Georgia. In my, you know, rule number one of take the points, gentlemen, you bet Alabama or you don't bet at all. I know they have a new quarterback. I know they lost a bunch of receivers. They lost Najee. But here's what they have. The best defense that Nick Saban has had since probably 09. By far the best defensive line he's had since at least 2012. So I know it's offense, offense, offense in college football, but defense still is going to matter, especially in the SEC a bit. And I just think that their depth is unparalleled in college football. So I have Alabama winning the national title over Clemson. Same old story. This is just the way it is.
So the reason I didn't pick Alabama is twofold. First, I think it's incredibly hard to repeat as a national champs. And so the smart money's always on going for somebody different than the previous year. The other thing is Alabama just won a national championship with essentially, was it the 2017 or 18 recruiting class, which was like the best recruiting class of all time. And I don't know if it's better, but they just had a recruiting class that is basically on par with that same class. So they're pretty much locked in to win it 2 years from now, possibly even next year. So if they win it this year, I mean, we're looking at like Alabama potential 4 years in a row winning the national title. And I just can't pick that. So this would be the year for somebody else to sneak in before Alabama once again starts to dominate. So, and we're going to talk about Georgia Clemson in a little bit, but Dan, what do you think?
You guys have a lot of information so far. I'm going to go Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and USC as my final four, believe it or not. And national champion Georgia.
Clay Helton, USC?
Final four USC this year. I like this USC squad. I don't think Oregon's any good. I think the Pac-12 sucks in general. So, I think there's a real opportunity for them. I think college football, if it has a chance to put like a USC team in the Final Four, they will. I don't know. I can't pick Oklahoma and I can't pick Iowa State. I feel like they cancel each other out. I don't like any of the Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State crowd. Why not? Anyway, I think Georgia's going to win it this year. I like JT Daniels. I feel like he should have started last year. They got some great weapons on offense and their defense is loaded. I feel if there's any time like Georgia has the potential to win the national title, it's this year. They were close a couple years ago when they played two as a freshman. And I think they can run it back this year. So even though I think I'm wrong, I'll pick Georgia to win the national championship.
Georgia's a very intriguing pick, and I considered them too, but for reasons which I will discuss when we get to that game, I just couldn't do it. You want to talk Heisman, Dan? I kind of gave my answer away already.
Okay, Heisman Trophy. It's always won by a quarterback now. You know, you can make a case for, you know, the Iowa State running back, Breece Hall. You can make a case for, you know, a couple of the great defensive players. But I'm probably taking the words out of your mouth here, Ryan, but I just can't help myself. Matt Corral, Ole Miss. I feel like he's going to throw for 7,000 yards. If they can go like 9-3 or 8-4, he wins it as long as they beat Alabama. Like, he can have the Johnny Manziel formula of beating Alabama, still finishing, like, you know, 12th to 15th in the country and winning the Heisman with a bunch of stats. So there's no one else I like. I really don't like anything. I don't feel like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the favorite Spencer Rattler, but you can't lay 4-1 on anyone to win the Heisman. It's just, it's impossible odds. So if I'm going to bet anybody, it's going to be Matt Corral at 33-1. So lane train, run it.
All right, Ryan, yes. You make your pick, yes, and then I'll make my pick / sleeper bets.
Well, Dan stole my thunder of Matt Corral. We've been talking about this for a couple of months now, all over the Matt Corral lane train. It just makes sense. He's going to put up ridiculous numbers. I don't even know that he has to beat Alabama. I just think he has to, like, keep it close with Alabama and put on a bit of a show. You know, remember last year he threw 16 interceptions, but 13 of them were in three games, something ridiculous like that. So, like, that's all it takes, you know, is just to clean up like one or two of those games that he was a disaster in, and his numbers are going to be absurd. So I like Ole Miss this year. I like them a lot, but I love Corral. That's definitely my pick. And then Dan also mentioned the other sleepers, you know, Hall at Iowa State is obviously a sleeper. He's going to go for close to 2,000 yards. The Iowa running back Goodson is also going to go for 2,000 yards. But if I have to pick one sleeper outside a quarterback, I'm hitting all gas, no brakes, and going with Bijan, because he's another one that he's going to end up with, like, I think he's going to have like 1,700-1,800 rushing yards and like 400 to 600 more receiving. He is just ridiculous. Sark's going to run him into the ground, especially just to rub it into Herman's face, where he gave him what, like, he had like 80 carries last year. He averaged like 9.5 yards a carry, but they only gave him like 80 carries. So he's going to give him a ton of carries. He's going to get probably like close to 3,000 scrimmage yards. So that's my sleeper. Don't know what the odds are, but I like him a lot.
So can one of you pull up the list of Heisman odds? Because I'm going to give you my sort of favorite sleeper, but then I just want to make a little point about betting it and what some good bets might be. And I want to just run through some of these, and my computer is freezing up, so I can't do it myself. But while you're doing that, my two favorites would be Spencer Rattler. This is just to win it, not for betting odds. Spencer Rattler is not a good bet. It's not a good bet to bet on the favorite ever. You just don't get any odds. But to win it, I think it's wide open for him. It's his to lose. He's the big name person who's coming back. Other guys like DJ Uiagalelei don't have that style of game, although I guess we'll see. But and then Bryce Young, we don't know anything about him, so it's tough to bet on him. CJ Stroud of Ohio State, here's what we know about him. Ohio State has three quarterbacks in their QB room right now who could start for almost any team in the country, and a fourth who could start for most teams. It's one of the most stacked QB rooms. They, of course, have number one overall recruit, Quinn Ewers, coming in. And so, you know, he's new. They're not ready to start him. But basically what's the underlying message to CJ Stroud is like, this is your year, and then you're done, because the team will be Quinn's going forward. He also has Olave. He has one of the, I will say, two to three best receiving core in the whole country. They always have a good running back, good defense. Everything is lined up for any really top-level quarterback to step into Ohio State and put up huge numbers this year. So as long as he performs up to the normal Ohio State standard, he's going to be right in the conversation, and you get a little bit better odds with him. I also like Breece Hall. I also think that Texas A&M's running back, I forget his name, is a pretty good...
Spiller.
Yeah.
How can you forget Spiller, bro? As a Bills fan? Come on.
I'm sorry. So I think I like him better than a Bijan Robinson pick, and here's why. Because when you think about betting the Heisman, there's just a formula, and there's certain guys and certain teams who win it nowadays. As you said, basically the smart money is to get rid of anyone who's not a running back or a quarterback, and even running backs are at lower odds. Obviously, no defense. Once in a while, you get a receiver like Devontae Smith, but it's impossible to predict that. I don't know how frequently Heismans go to teams that lose three or more games. I mean, I can think of a couple examples like RG3, but for the most part, you have to be in the top 10 to have a good shot at it, unless the field just collapses around you. And so that's why I rule out someone like Corral, who will have massive numbers for a 6-6, 7-5 team that's ranked maybe 24th in the country. So I just can't do it. And that's it. You look around the country. I mean, Kevon Slotus, if USC performs to the level you think, Dan, I mean, I think he's a good one, but again, not exactly a sleeper. So, you know, using that logic, if you want to run down the list, if you've got it, you know, I can give you a simple, like, is it worth a shot or not?
Do they fall under
those categories? Because there's not a lot, as I read the list earlier, there's not a lot who meet all of those criteria.
Go ahead. Yeah, so I have a Vegas Insider right here. And let's see, we have Rattler at 6.5, Bryce Young at 11-1, Ugalele at 11-1, JT Daniels at 10, Howell at 16, Stroud at 16, Corral's up to 22.
What?
De'Aaron King's 25, Slovis is 28, Bijan is 30. Jaden Daniels, Arizona State's at 40.
Shredder.
Emory Jones, Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, all of them are at 40.
Yeah, so, you know, taking a flyer on Breece Hall, actually, you know, pretty good odds there. You know, Bijan again, like I think Texas is losing three games and a running back for a three-loss team. I don't think I can stake my money on that.
Yeah, you can go like real big if you believe in Graham Mertz.
I do not.
He's at 100-1.
No, I don't. So it sounds like Breece Hall might actually be the best sleeper pick there.
There you go.
40-1, he probably is. I'm looking through here. A lot of people like Notre Dame's running back, but they're going to lose three games. So.
Again, yeah, a Notre Dame, you know, well, we know the Beano Cook quote, but, you know, that was back in the day when Notre Dame used to, you know, lose a game or no games. I think they're going to lose several, and that's going to rule them out again.
We have little Tua on the list. Tua's little brother, Tylea, he's at 150-1 for Maryland. Just, you know, throwing that out there.
I mean, I like your pick of Goodson. I mean, I'd rather have Goodson than any of those guys.
He's not even on the list.
Iowa's going to be surprisingly good this year. Watch out. Iowa could be a 10-2 or 11-1 team.
I mean, Iowa State is actually going to be like a legitimately important game in the landscape this year, which, you know,
right.
they try to make it out to be that every year, but this year it's actually like legitimately real.
And I'll tell you what, Iowa starts out this week with Indiana, who's ranked 17th, and they're 18th. So if they somehow, you know, pull off that and they beat Iowa State before they even get into the bulk of their conference schedule, they're already a top 10 team.
Yep.
Yep. Or Iowa State runs the table until they get to the Oklahoma game, and then they're undefeated. It's undefeated versus undefeated, which is what I'm predicting.
All right, so we can just stop there, and I'm just going to say that the Heisman is definitely going to Breece Hall or Goodson, whoever wins that game. And then, you know, the winner faces Graham Mertz.
Looking forward to it.
One of those three guys will definitely win the Heisman is what I'm saying.
The jinx is real.
All right, put $10 on Goodson.
He's not even on the list, dude.
Call him up. Just make a call. That's a sleeper when you can't even get odds.
True.
All right. Let's move on, Dan. Let's talk about some games. How do you want to start this? You're our toastmaster when it comes to doing the lines. Well,
because of various circumstances, we're doing an extremely short podcast today. So let's just each pick one game this weekend, one or two. Two max that you would like to wager on and why. I'll start it off if you'd like. I'll give you two wagers. I got two unders for you, which is a very rare play from me. The first one, my favorite bet of the week, is the under in the LSU-UCLA game, 67.5. UCLA played Hawaii last week, which, you know, is not that important, but their defense is all the guys returned basically from last year. They got some NFL prospects at linebacker and defensive line. Their quarterback, Dorian Thompson Robinson, has not improved, cannot really throw the ball. They're a power running team, which means the clock will run. Then on the other side, you got LSU, who, you know, they have a hurricane in their town. So they've been forced to practice away from their home place. One of their quarterbacks is out for the year injured, or two of them. So they only have, I think, Brad Johnson's son, I think, is the only quarterback left. And 67.5 points is a lot of points for week one. So I like the under in LSU, UCLA. I think that's more of like a 26-23 type game than a 37-34 type game. So I like the under in that. And I also like the under in Georgia-Clemson as well. The total is 50.5. George is going to be missing George Pickens, Tariq Gilbert, a couple other players. There's some COVID news that's about to break with Georgia, I guess, as well. Clemson, new quarterback, no NTN, no Trev Lawrence, defense loaded. I think we're looking at a low-scoring game here, a 20-16 type game. So I'm going to take two unders this week as my favorite two plays.
All right, let me, you know, I actually have a few picks considering I usually lay low on week one, but let me piggyback off that because LSU is one of my picks. This is a case of I've seen this 1,000 times where the Pac-12 team shows off in week one and then the physical SEC team beats them down. LSU, you know, doesn't have a quarterback. All right, what's new aside from 2019? That's just LSU. So, you know, they had Penn State backup grad transfers playing 10 years ago, and they still beat teams' asses. So I like LSU -2.5 because of UCLA's strong performance. You're getting that one pretty low right now. And I just, I mean, I like a hook with the under also. I don't think USC or UCLA has the physicality to hang with an SEC team. And, you know, we don't really need to get into it any more than that. I like Iowa -3.5 at home against Indiana for sort of the reasons I explained earlier that I think Iowa is a very underrated team that's going to be very good this year and probably is going to sneak into the top 10 at some point in the year, whereas Indiana should still be good and competitive but has definitely dropped off slightly. They lost their star wide receiver. I don't think will be quite as good as last year in a weird COVID year that they slightly overperformed. And let's remember Indiana, I'm biased of course, but should have lost week one last year against Penn State and that would have changed their season around. So those are my two picks. I have one other pick, which actually I feel much, much stronger about. That would be my lock of the century, but I think Ryan might pick it. So I'm just going to turn it over to you. And if you don't pick it, we'll get back to it.
Okay. Well, I have two picks. I have one over and one under. That's what I'm going to go with. So I'll go with the under first, get that out of the way. I have Stanford versus Kansas State in Jerry's World in Dallas. And I believe that is at 53.5. Come on. It's Stanford and Kansas State. Like this game's going to end like 17-13. We're good. We're not getting to 50, folks. So that is, for me, that was the easiest under for me that I saw. Now the easiest bet, and the lock of the year.
I know where you're going here.
And Dan already alluded to it. And I know it's not a Saturday game. It's Monday Night Football. But the Lane train is leaving the station. And it's only 75.5 Ole Miss Louisville. Dan said the first team to 50. That is correct. However, both teams are getting to 50 in this one. This game's going to end like 63-53. And I love it. So that's my lock of the year. Ole Miss Louisville over 75.5.
Okay. That wasn't my pick, which I really also, of course, love that one. But you guys will have to answer this, but when I saw this, I thought maybe it's wrong, but the Alabama Miami line is 19.5 currently. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. How many years in a row do we have to do this? Do you remember when Alabama played Michigan and Shoelace Robinson week one, and it was like an 18-point line? It was in Texas, and everyone's like, well, yep. Shoelace, he's going to run all over that Alabama defense. And then it was like 49-10. And I feel like it's the same thing. Like Derek King, everybody loves. Obviously, he's great, and we love him. But this is Alabama week one of the safest bets of the last 10 years. How could you possibly do anything else?
You can't.
I mean, literally, whoever the quarterback is, and their quarterbacks just keep getting better and better. So I have no reason to believe that Bryce Young won't be at least, you know, very capable.
I mean, people were saying that he was, you know, had a shot to beat out Mac last year as a true freshman. So
yeah, he was the guy, number one, right? I mean, I believe he was the number one recruit in his entire class. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So that doesn't always mean that they end up the best player, but it means they don't suck.
Truth.
So yeah, I'll be wagering a large sum on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, as we go further into the year, I'll have to wait and see how good Alabama is after losing a bunch of guys and Mac Jones and, you know, last year's spectacular season. But for week one, absolutely.
It's good.
All right, fellas, my free Zoom is kicking us off. So I think we got to reset and take a quick break and restart the Zoom. And we'll talk about a few more things before we sign off. We're back. It's Tom and Dan waiting for Ryan to sign back on, but we're going to start because Dan has some thoughts on coaching, which is always a favorite topic of this show and my personal favorite thing to talk about these days, bad coaches. So Dan, what do you got?
Well, Tom, one of my favorite things to do in college football is to isolate and locate the coaches who are terrible and just put money against them. You don't need to know anything else, players, schemes, injuries, nothing else. Just who can't fucking coach. And there's a lot of guys who can't coach out there. And this year, there's one guy in particular. And I know this is easy because his team already lost this year, but Scott Frost is maybe the worst coach in all of college football. He has stuck with Mr. Shitbag Martinez, who can't throw a football. He said no to Joe Burrow twice, once out of high school and once as a transfer. if he won 151 consecutive games, he would have as many, or if this is a great stat. If he won 151 consecutive games from now on, he would have the same record as Nick Saban. But he would have to win 151 in a row to get to what Nick Saban did.
But Dan, he won a national championship at UCF. He obviously knows how to coach.
Not at all. He's in over his head at Central Florida or at Nebraska. The Central Florida did not count. It's just embarrassing. Like, Nebraska has fired coaches in the past for overperforming what this guy's done. They look terrible against Illinois, bad clock management at the end of the first half, just really bad. So I've seen enough. I'm just going to wager against Nebraska the entire year. I don't see how they're going to be a positive against the spread at all going forward. I would also like to mention that the defensive coordinator on Missouri is Steve Wilks, who was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals for one season where they went 3-13. That doesn't sound good to me. So I'll be betting Missouri overs and fading Nebraska the entire year.
So I want to talk about Nebraska in depth in a future episode and maybe even a multi-part thing. You know, we did the greatest teams of our lifetime. And one suggestion I have for you guys, maybe a little later this year, is a history of Nebraska football going all the way back. Because I think it's the most interesting program to really delve into. We can do a like ringer style oral history of Nebraska from like 1970 to present. So think about it. But I want to talk about one bad coach. I know Dan's got to leave in a few minutes. So if there's anything else you want to add before you...
No, go ahead. I'm fine for now.
All right. The coach I want to talk about, this involves two teams. The University of South Carolina, or USC, as everybody knows them, and the Georgia Bulldogs. And what do these teams have in common? Well, South Carolina, as we know, has sucked for many years, and that was a result of one man. Dan's putting on his glasses for this part. I don't know if that's intentional, but we're about to talk about Will Muschamp. You thought he was gone. Oh no, he's back forever with his dime store glasses. Even though he looks smart, he never quite coached smart enough to get South Carolina to be good. But South Carolina got rid of him, and they did an exorcism. They brought in a cool coach, Shane Beamer, who is now starting a grad transfer. They're playing the greatest song of all time, Sandstorm by Da Rude, at their games. And they have almost instantaneously got rid of all the bad karma from Muschamp. I've never seen a more impressive like exorcism, if you will, of bad karma to good karma. Meanwhile, the Georgia Bulldogs, who I love their roster this year, and I like Kirby Smart, have hired Mr. Muschamp as a special assistant. I can't help but think that the bad karma has floated over to Athens, Georgia, and that this is the reason I can't pick them for the playoffs, Dan. This one reason. I think they're among the four best teams in the country, talent-wise, and I think the Muschamp curse is going between the hedges.
Dude, and also keep in mind that Nick Saban's really pushing it this year, okay? Because he's got Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator. Like, we thought it was a joke when he had Sark and some other people, but he literally has Bill O'Brien calling his offense.
He's got like 23 guys in that special assistant cage now. We need an update. Like, some of these guys have just disappeared.
He's the offensive coordinator. He's not the special assistant. He's the offensive coordinator. Like, I'm at a loss for words, clearly, as you can tell. Like, there's so many things going through my head right now. This is Bill O'Brien, B.O.B. himself. Like, if Alabama wins a national title with Bill O'Brien, I just don't know what else. I might have to just watch soccer full time because I just refuse to believe it based on what I've seen.
I mean, it's going to happen, if not this year, then in the next 2 years. It will happen at some point, and he will use that to springboard to, you know, the Detroit Lions with Spencer Rattler or whatever.
I like how LSU kind of tried to do that last year by hiring Bo Pelini as their defensive coordinator, but then they realized Bo Pelini was the number one worst hire in all of college football last year, and they were like,
Where's he at, Dan? We haven't our Pelini tracker.
He has no job, and his brother's going to jail for sexual assault. So the Pelini family is
no laughing matter, but it's the Pelini family is not doing well. It
was a bad start in 2021. Both unemployed, one going to jail that we know of. We might have two going to jail for all we know.
We don't know Bo's involvement in this.
Carl and Bo are two of the biggest losers of all time.
Well, I just want to say we fucking told you so. I mean, we say that every week about something, but there's nothing we've ever been so strong about as Bo Pelini and all the Pelinis being bad for the sport in general and whatever team they're on. And so that I will do a huge victory dance. And I'm telling you the same thing about Muschamp right now. He's not Pelini level, but he's not going to help.
If you remember, I had to issue an apology to the Take the Points listeners last year, week two, for not saying how Bo was the defensive coordinator to bet all the LSU overs. I said, I'm sorry. This was an oversight on my part. I did not realize that Bo Pelini had an important position in a Power 5 team.
The biggest oversight we've ever done. But we took that Santa tracker GPS and we attached it to the back of Bo Pelini's leg. So we got eyes on him all the time. Now we need an update on Greg Double G Williams. We're seeing that these days. Dan froze up out of shock that we haven't figured out where Greg Williams is. But wherever he is, bet the over against.
Let me see if I can find where Greg is real quick.
If he's like that,
there's no way he's employed. NFL,
no. I bet you he's like in the NFL somewhere and I'm going to go crazy.
No, he was last defensive coordinator for the Jets, but is unemployed since 2020.
He went from San Jose State to the Jets, if I recall. And now without him, look how good San Jose State is.
Greg, two G's.
All right. Ryan, I couldn't end a show without letting you weigh in on bad coaches as the founder and executive producer of the Tarmac Report. What do you got in store for us this year?
Well, it's going to take a week or two to kind of get an idea. This COVID stuff's really screwed all this, my coach watch up, my Tarmac up. What the game I'm most interested in terms of Tarmac is actually going to be the Va-Tech UNC game.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Because Fuente is on extremely thin ice and I need to see if his team actually wants him to stay the coach or not. And we'll be able to tell by halftime of the UNC game, if they're down 31-3, then just fade Va-Tech all year because they just want his ass fired. So that to me is the biggest game on the Tarmac, as well as USC San Jose State. I'm keeping my eye on Nick Starkel for the Spartans taking on the Trojans. So, you know, always fun when Spartans take on Trojans.
Early entry. He's only in his second year, but look out for Tucker from Michigan State to join the ranks of your Tarmac Report in the very near future.
Oh, I forgot about him.
He's a young rising superstar, in my opinion.
I'll tell you what. Ed Orgeron has to win games this year or else he's also gone. Mark that down.
Really? I think he's got at least one more year, but we'll see about that. And Clay Helton, obviously.
We got some off-the-field issues there at LSU. And it could be troublesome.
All right, Dan, close us out with a minute or two on Fred Durst, and then we'll say goodbye to everyone till next week.
Oh, no. My phone's dying.
All right. Well, Dan's phone's dead. What do you want to say is that Fred Durst is the greatest artist of the 21st century?
Oh, no. Bad sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
I think my phone finally gave out, but save the Fred Durst stuff for next week.
All right. In that case, Ryan, you can have the closing word. Anything on your mind? Anything you're looking forward to this week?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Is that a Fred Durst fake out?
The power of Fred Durst. So Fred Durst looks like fucking that he was in the Beastie Boys Sabotage video as an extra these days. And we're here to take the points. We're committed to giving you the latest new metal updates in 2021. So stay tuned all year for various new metal updates.
I thought we were the foremost new metal podcast after our work the last couple of years, but since I've been posting about new metal on Twitter the last, several years, but more frequently when we started talking about it, the algorithm has sucked me in, and I've found there are like actual other new metal exclusive themed podcasts, and lots of people who still love new metal and Fred Durst. So I'm in the world now. So I'll keep you guys posted.
Good, because we're going to do a whole episode this year on Woodstock 99 and the HBO documentary about Woodstock 99, which was hilarious. And as someone who attended that event, I will have some firsthand stories for you guys that will go along well.
All right, there's always one bad week of college football, like, you know, week three usually. So we'll check the slate, and that'll be a Woodstock-themed episode. Anybody have any words they want to add in before we sign off for the night?
Enjoy the season. Make sure to wager against Scott Frost at all opportunities, and we'll be back with hot new metal takes and fake McLean Northeast commercials all year.
All right, yeah, one of the best week ones I've ever seen. So everybody enjoy. We'll be back next week. Take the points. Signing off. Bye. Take the point.